In the name of Jesus, amen. The mystery of the Epiphany is simply this: it is Christ. And that plan of Christ is that he shines his light not just for a nation, but upon all nations, beckoning them unto himself that they might receive the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so we remember on this day that in darkness a light shines, that a morning star rises and it is fair and it is bright. And this is far greater than any sunrise or any sunset that your eyes shall ever behold on this earth. For indeed, some 700 years before this light, Isaiah says that this light is the Lord himself. It will shine from a crude and cold manger. It will shine from the face of a child. It will shine from God himself crawling in the dirt and the darkness and the mess and the sin of our earth. It will shine with a radiant voice that beckons all nations and their leaders, their kings, to its grace and its glory. But the image of the invisible God is visibly seen in this visible sight. For a people that huddled in great and deep and thick darkness are drawn out of their caves and out of their caverns to a joyous light that is creating a holy people, sons and daughters of God flooding to God toward the light. Even humped animals and mysterious visitors bring gold and frankincense. And they all collectively praise God from heaven who comes to earth, the God who comes to shine his light into our darkness. And so it is in our darkness that a light shines. The Magi, who we remember today, look up and they wonder at the constellation of the stars, but then yet there was one of them, a particular star, that caught their eye. They had never seen that one before. They talk amongst themselves, and the only conclusion that they can come to is simply this: that this is the star that is revealing the long-awaited reality that the promised King of Kings, the King of the Jews, has been born. All those prophecies, after all these years, it has all come to pass. They prepare their gifts and they begin their long trek. But when they finally arrive in Jerusalem, the scene is quite strange. There's no noise, there's no singing, there's no dancing, no national joy. Just another run-of-the-mill day, trading and buying just as usual. The darkness still creeping about in people's hearts and lives. They are dumbfounded at the scene that they see, so they go to inquire of the king where this newborn King of Kings resides. But the inquiry, however, stirs the heart of darkness that lies within Herod's chest. For there is no doubt that he is a bloodthirsty king. For soon the slaughter of the male babes of Bethlehem to root out a threat to his throne should suffice enough evidence for you. But the darkness and fear that stirred Herod's heart could not be contained. For the people who lived under his iron fist, that fear and that darkness crept into their hearts as well. For darkness and fear cannot be satiated by one man's heart. It must have them all. Perhaps even this darkness and this fear slithered into the heart of the wise men as they stood before this volatile king, perhaps even wondering, could they have been wrong? Maybe they were led wrong. But yet, under secrecy, Herod asked that these chief priests of his council and these scribes to figure out where the Christ child was to be born. And so he tells the wise men, essentially, you're wrong. You're in the wrong place. He's not here in Jerusalem. He's in Bethlehem, down south. Go and find this child, and when you locate this child, bring him to me that I might worship him. Sure, Herod, worship him, right. With hopeful hearts, yet still basking and battling, not basking, but really battling the darkness, the wise men, they set out again. But then there it is again, that same strange star, that mighty light that they saw its rising when they first set out. And it's piercing the darkness and it's guiding their way until they saw at last its beam shining down upon a house. And led by this lesser light, they enter a humble house filled with a greater light. The light that we confess that enlightens all men. They see the child in his mother's arms, and they fall to their knees, and they worship him. They confess, as we confess, light of light, very God, begotten, not made. And they offer gifts to him of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Their hearts were changed, and they were called by the love and the light of the gospel of Christ, this Jesus, and they would never be the same again. Into the very den of lions, where ruthless leaders kill their rivals and where people of common sense fear ruthless people and tremble at what they may or may not do. Into that darkness and that deceit, the light has been kindled that will never be snuffed out. Think of our epistle lesson and the man you know as St. Paul. He wasn't always St. Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus, a man once filled with darkness and fear, with rage and hatred against the light that had come into the world. He wasn't afraid to use violence and intimidation to stamp out this light. Likely he would tell all kinds of people, "It's a bloody lie. Don't mention his name. Do not believe his lunatic followers, this new religion." But a day would dawn when he would literally see the light, not just a light, but a revelation, an apocalypse of Jesus Christ. The morning star rising fair and bright, and it would knock him right off his horse and turn his life upside down and inside out. Indeed, right side up, and set him on a new path. The revelation of the enfleshed God in the person of Jesus Christ drove the darkness from his heart and the fear. And a revealed word that forgave him and loved him and gave him the promise that he would have a life that would never end. And this word also revealed to him that would call him to be the mouthpiece of the gospel to the Gentile nations. Saul the persecutor became Paul the proclaimer. For he was, as you heard, given a mystery to proclaim, and it is this, that the light shines in the darkness, and it is not just for this or that people, but it's for all, even those whose hearts are as dark as King Herod or Saul of Tarsus. The light that shines, that makes all people heirs of God, members of one body, partakers of one great promise. And what again is that promise? The light has come. That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot, will not, absolutely not overcome it. No matter how terrifying the darkness may be for you at this moment, no matter what beasts lurk in the shadows of your past, or what you may fear as far as the future, your hope is that Christ's light shines upon you and dawns upon you, for he is your light, which is simply a love that no hatred or division or fear will ever be able to snuff out. For he is the light, which is simply a love that cannot be snuffed out. It's a light that reveals God's inward heart and plan, that he, through his gift of Jesus, his Son to you, one family, gathered around one table, celebrating one feast in joy that never ends, and where there is no more fear, darkness, pain, death, suffering. That is his plan, and he will bring it to pass. All the old things will have passed away. The new things will be present here by faith and in heaven by sight. Here present for you, his light shining in your ears and your heart and giving you the mind of Christ. For here is the mystery of the church. A door has been opened from heaven, and her light shines into all the dark and cold places of the world, and shows the lost and the sinful the way home. The church shines the light of eternity, sort of like a lighthouse, guiding the way of distressed and buffeted boats that upon a unforgiving and choppy sea. The church shines its light in order to summon all to arise in splendor, in an unexpected forgiveness, in an unearned forgiveness, and to simply come home. By the lighted word of the gospel, the church is created. Sinners washed, instructed in the word of God, and fed a holy meal, gathered together as a holy people, longing for a holy city. It's a joy as parishioners of Pilgrim, and especially those that we installed last week as office bearers in this parish, that you are watchmen, you are sentinels to ensure that nothing impedes or taints the pure gospel light in this place, and that it may shine with clarity through our parish, into our community, and unto our world. Epiphany light, it's the light that is for all. Christ, the Savior of the nations, the light who went into our deepest darkness, who knew our suffering, who cried our tears, who died our death upon his cross to forgive our sin. He is the light that could not be snuffed out. He is now risen, glorified, and ascended to his Father's right hand. And his very promise is that his light triumphs and that the love of the ages is to come and will be the final word of this world and the word that will create the new world. So Saul of Tarsus learned. So Isaiah foresaw. So the wise men were brought to believe. And so we proclaim until the day when what we believe in mystery is manifested for all to see, the day when the light of Christ shines visibly upon this world and transfigures all things into the new heavens and the new earth. For that day we are truly yearning, and we pray would come, and it does come, in the light that is epiphanied among us this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.